Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, we have Dirk Beveridge. Dirk is a visionary entrepreneur and the founder of Unleash WD, an innovative firm that creates transformative learning experiences and connections for growth-oriented distributors. With his one-of-a-kind perspective on the future of wholesale distribution, Dirk has been leading major change for over 35 years to advance growth, relevance, and transformation. Over the last 3 years, Dirk produced the We Supply America tour, including a 24-film docuseries highlighting and championing the noble calling of distribution. Dirk has authored 4 books, including the best-selling Innovate, How Successful Distributors Lead Change in Disruptive Times. And on May 1st, Dirk is producing Force for Good Virtual Live, a transformative event to fuel personal and professional growth for all 6 million employees in distribution. His LinkedIn handle will be on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website. He's got a website himself out there, forceforgoodcompany.com. You can go /May 1st, and that'll get you to the event. But before we do, Greg, we got to keep it easy, buddy. We got to go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com.
And we've talked about before that, you know, we can get you all the product you need, but a lot of our calls are service calls now. They need the technician in the field. And Keystone makes it easy with their smart current USB programmable driver that allows you to actually do the programming on site. So you don't need to know what the driver is all the time. You can go there with those drivers, have it ready to go, and you can get it done. You don't need the existing specs, no problem. Upload the software, the tablet, connect to the smart current driver, and set it where you need it. Easy.
That's a foundational app coming out of the easy, folks. Keep it easy. Light made easy. KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. And, of course, their members were members of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. You got a warehouse with light bulbs in it, sucka? That's right. Come on down and join Nailed, where is your crucial voice. That's right. NAILD.org. Welcome to the show, Dirk.
Man, I tell you what, I want to buy whatever Greg was selling, just for the record. Okay? Just for the record. I want to send me a pallet, all right?
I don't even know where to start with you, Dirk. I do watch a lot of your stuff, and I read about it, and I love it.
Thanks, man.
You know, I mean, give us your background a little more than Mike did. I mean, how did you get into what you do now?
Yeah, so I'm going to cut to my current background, if you don't. We're a second generation business, over 50 years old, all that. But I'm going to bring you back to the pandemic, okay, guys? And March 10th, 10 a.m., March 13th, 10 a.m., Friday afternoon, the world's starting to close down. I'm sitting here in this office, and I said, what the hell am I going to do? I call up my partner, Bethany. I said, what are we going to do? 4 words came to our mind: insight, inspiration, connectedness, and I'm a hugger and a hug. And we decided at that moment that that's what we were going to do to support distribution, this segment of our society that we love and that we think is so essential. Where did that lead to? Somewhere between 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we're entering the second year, I wrote an open letter to distributors titled Shift to Tomorrow. And in that open letter, I use the words, the noble calling of distribution, guys. And I had to stop and pause and think, what did I mean by that? Because they weren't premeditated. I'd never used those words before. And when you think about it, guys, down here in the States, right? Wholesale distribution is a $7 trillion economic engine. That's the third largest economic engine on the planet behind the GDP of the United States and China. I think that's essential. I think it's important. And I think it's noble. That $7 trillion creates over 6 million jobs. And think about these jobs, gentlemen. These aren't just jobs with a good paycheck, which they are. These are jobs that allow people to live fully, to go and find purpose and meaning and impact. And I find that to be noble, this job creation engine that distribution is. And then you look at the products. I mean, just think about your members' products. If your membership wasn't in business, our world wouldn't be lighted the way we need to be lighted. We could go down that path.
Sure.
So I'll get right to the punch. So all of that led me to one day leaving my home without telling my wife, and I go to the local Camping World, and I buy a 38-foot RV. And that was a long night when I brought it home, guys, just for the record, all right? But, and then Bethany, my brilliant partner, transforms that into the We Supply America RV. And for the last three summers, gentlemen, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, I've traveled over 41,000 miles across this country, visited 85 different distributors, not to sell them a thing, but to go in and meet their people, listen to them, hear their stories, the stories of the company and the stories of the people. We've made 24 documentary films. We've got our fourth season coming up this summer. Last thing. Gentlemen, as I say, you come with me across this country in that RV, meeting the people of distribution, and you come back a different person.
Amen.
And I am a different person as a result of these experiences.
Yeah.
A little background on me.
Well, thank you for listening for the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, folks. Go to KeystoneTech.com.
When can I expect my order, Greg?
Yeah, coming up right now. Let's go.
Oh, man.
You know, there's a lot of ways, but I mean, that's inspirational, man. And I love that you're doing that. Is there, you know, I mean, maybe you already said what your biggest takeaway is that it's noble. Is there anything else that, you know, really stood out to you on this journey?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll say it in this way. On Memorial Day of 2021, I'm at a KOA outside of Detroit. The next day, Tuesday after Memorial Day, we're going to film our very first episode. And my video crew comes to meet me in the KOA so we can connect. We've done Zoom and all that, but now we're going to connect. And we're having this conversation. And they say, Dirk, we're going to turn on the video here. So the day before We Supply America actually launches, the camera crew asked me, Dirk, what do you think you're going to learn this summer? And my question to them was, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen here. It might blow up tomorrow and I might be home. I have no idea. And Greg and Michael, after 3 years, I can now answer that question, what am I going to learn? And what I've learned is that these independent, family-owned, employee-owned distribution businesses are not about the products on their shelves. They are about the people. I see your members' businesses as platforms for the personal and the professional growth of human beings. They are platforms to help human beings thrive and flourish in a world that every day is throwing challenges and chaos and uncertainty to them and their families. Your members have a platform that just so happens to be a lighting distributor. That's your canvas. And yes, you move product. And yes, you light the world. But in my mind, what you really light are people. You allow them to light their inner spirit, to find who they are, to find out what their dreams, their goals, their ambitions are, and you provide them a platform to do that. And that's what I've learned over the last three summers.
You know, Greg, I remember when the 2008 recession hit. When the U.S. government decided to take money from the middle-income taxpayer and give it to rich people. That's a better description of that. Let's call it what it is. It was a scam. But I remember when that happened, and it was all around the world, and this study came out saying that family-owned and operated businesses are much more resilient than corporate stock market businesses. And it's particularly, it was highlighting all these German companies that have been in business for so long. And you mentioned that one of the great honors of being a nailed manager, Greg, is actually getting to know all these people the same way that Dirk was talking about, and how wonderful the and unique and beautiful all these different platforms, as you call it. I've never heard it called that before, but that's a great way to describe it, a platform for for humans to succeed and make money and earn a living and find a passion and all these other things. And, you know, this idea that family or then the employee owned, that's another, I think that's an emerging model as the baby boomers that retire, that employee, getting employees to buy into the company. What a powerful vehicle for building that platform, Dirk.
Without question. And Michael, you hit on something that I'm passionate about, that I believe. I'll go around this country on stage or off my RV, and I'll ask, and you alluded to this, I'll ask people, I'll look them in the eyes, and I say, is there anybody in here who thinks our world is a little bit screwed up? Everybody's hands go up. And I'll ask, is anybody tired of watching the news? We don't watch the news anymore. Is anybody tired of left versus right, red versus blue, Pierre Poilievre versus Trudeau, right? Are we tired of this? And we all are. And my premise is this, and you alluded to it. Are the answers to our problems are not going to be found in the Canadian government or the Washington government, the US government. It's not going to be found in Washington, DC. The answers to our problems are right here in the four walls of these businesses. If we could find a way to take the culture, the care, the love, the concern, the caring, the nurturing that I see in these four walls, if we could take that and lift that out of these businesses into our society, our society would be much better off. But Washington doesn't want to hear it. Washington doesn't want to hear it. But what I see is that right here, locally, these are the forces for good. And we have to change the narrative. That's why I love what you do on the show. Man, I want to, with you and others, I want to take this narrative from Washington, and I want to blow it up. And I want to say what you're seeing on Wall Street, what you're seeing in Washington, D.C., that ain't reality. Reality is what's going on in these local businesses, local communities where there's real love, real concern. And that's what we have to support. That's what we have to remind people of, because we're forgetting it. I mean, the rates of depression are skyrocketing. Obesity, alcohol use, drug use, it's all skyrocketing. Meanwhile, our GDPs are increasing. Wait, something's wrong with that picture. And we have. Go ahead.
I'm not even sure the people in the Canadian government are Canadians. And I'm not even sure the people in the, I wouldn't even consider them Americans. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, the people in the Beltway in Washington are so disconnected from what's happening in America, and people in Ottawa are so disconnected from what happens in Canada. It's, I would argue, my point on this, and I have two points to what you said there, Dirk. My first point is that I think the Canadian government hates the Canadian people. Like, that's how far gone they are. Not that they, like, they hate us. And people say, what are you talking about? They have to go, when I tell people stuff like this, they have to go through the five stages of grief. It's so bad. You know, look, I told them in 2008, Dirk, they decided that you had too much money and they needed to take your money and need to give it to really, really rich people so that rich people could stay rich and they wouldn't lose their status. And no, that can't be true. That's exactly what happened, actually. They took the middle-income people of America's money and they gave it to uber-rich people so they could stay uber-rich. And this is happening all the time in our society. And the only cure for it is 100% correct, Dirk, is for people to get off the damn treadmill and start getting involved in ownership and loving the places they work and starting to thrive and build value, whether that's in the lighting industry, whether you sell light bulbs. That's a noble job, brother. You're 100% correct, Dirk.
All right. Thank you. And Michael, you and I could go on. I followed the truckers during COVID in a big, big way. And I think there's real evil in places. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay. But let me build upon this in another way, if you don't mind. I think what we're talking about here is the collective, we've been conditioned to believe what I call false narratives. Okay, and so simplistically, right? The false narrative is down at Vanderbilt University, they call it the illusory effect. The illusory effect says something, says that if you hear something enough times, even if you know it's false, if you hear it enough times, your brain is going to tell you it's true. Mm-hmm. All right. And I think there's examples of that everywhere from a political landscape. Absolutely. But more simplistically, through the We Supply America tour and what I've seen. Have you ever heard people say distribution or selling lighting is not a sexy business?
Yeah, for sure.
We've all heard it. In fact, we've all said it, and we shake our heads yes when we hear it. We've bought into that false narrative. We reinforce that false narrative. I could tell you 101 reasons why it's one of the most sexiest businesses in the world, all right, if you really look at it. Have you ever heard somebody, when you ask them, what do? You maybe go up to a driver or a warehouse associate, and you ask them, what do? And they say, I'm just a driver. Have you ever heard that?
Sure, of course.
It's a false narrative that we're allowing that individual to tell him or her that she has no dignity, that she has no worth. I'm just a driver. Bullshit. We've got to blow that false narrative up, and we got to remind that individual of the importance, of the essentiality, of the dignity, of the importance of what they do, that they keep our society lighted. And then here's one that's I'm so passionate about right now. Have you ever heard leaders saying that because we're a team here, we have to build a culture that moves from me to we? We need to move from me to we. You can't be selfish. It's all about the organization. I hear it all the time, and people shake their head yes. Well, I've come to the conclusion that while it makes sense on one level, it's a false narrative. Because as leaders in businesses, we cannot ask the individual to sacrifice themselves for the good of the whole. My job as a leader is to nurture. My job as a leader is to grow, develop, to know that there's inherently more potential in that individual. And my job is to have that individual focus on me, myself, my growth, my abilities, what I can accomplish in this world. And man, when I grow that in the individual, that's how I'm going to grow the business. We've got to flip the script 180 degrees. And that's what I mean by being, in one way, a force for good.
Yeah, I was going to say before you, I know, Greg, I think me to we is the most anti-American thing I've ever heard in my life. Like America's. Me to we is like a Chinese saying. Like that's something that comes from Xi Jinping in China. We're going for me to we. The collective is more important than the individual. Not here, sucker. Not in Canada, United States. The individual is actually the most important thing. And that's the fundamental basis of the country is individual action.
Yeah. And free will and the ability to, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What's happiness? Happiness is not putting a smile on your face. What they meant when they wrote those words, how much he meant fulfillment. He says growing into who you can be as a human being.
Yeah. We to me. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Greggy, bring us back down to earth here.
Well, I'm going to keep it up above for a little bit.
Okay.
Are you running for office anytime soon here, Derek?
I did in 2010, and you know how that worked out because I'm here talking to you.
That's right. So with your work right now, it's on distributors, electrical distributors is big. Are you in any distribution or what do you work with?
It's if there's a product on a shelf, it could be electrical plumbing. It could be HVAC. It could be building materials, appliances, flooring, all of it. I go and visit all of those types of businesses, and the like, and we help them in different ways. Right. I'm a keynote speaker, so I have the opportunity to share some of my thoughts, you know, from the stage, which I love to do. We do strategy workshops for associations and distribution companies. We've done a lot of research, some book writing. But this force for good is in the fourth quarter of my career. This is where I'm going to end up. This is my end zone to help us remind ourselves that our businesses are DARPA, and that we have the responsibility and the opportunity to absolutely have the light, not just within our businesses, but have the light within the individuals shine brightly. And is there anything more noble? Is there anything more than being a force for good? And Michael, you alluded to it, than helping the individual thrive, grow, and flourish. And that is going to be the focus of what we're going to do on May 1st with our Force for Good Live virtual event as well.
And do you have another tour than planned, I assume, Labor Day to Memorial?
Yeah, so we've done three seasons. I believe there's a 5-year run in this. So we got this summer and next summer. And guys, if you don't mind, I'm going to give a plug for our main sponsor in Ford Technology Company, Modern Distribution, Modern Technology Company, and they're a Koch-owned company, Koch Brothers. And I got to tell you something. 3 years ago, We Supply America was nothing more than an idea. I don't even know if it was a dream. It was a freaking idea on a napkin. And I talked to the people at Infor, and just on an idea, they signed a check that allowed me to pursue this. And now I think they believe in me, but the reason they did it is because they believe in distributors. Their technology is built for distribution, if you will. And they've got an amazing vision. Their vision of their company is to help their customers fulfill their potential and improve people's lives. That's a technology company. And I'm blessed to have them with us from day one through season 4, and I'm sure season 5 as well. So thanks for allowing me to say that.
Yeah, no problem. Check them out absolutely. Infor.
I mean, that's, and that's how we do what we do too, is, you know, you got to have people that believe in the cause and what the purpose of this is. And you guys, what you're doing is totally valuable and something that we can all learn a lot from. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, cool. Hey, do you guys mind? Can I give one other premise that I have that I think ties into everything we've been talking about?
Yeah.
Through all of this work, I've developed this premise, this formula, that are three numbers, 100, 20, and 80. And here's what the formula says. The formula says that we, the collective we, do a heck of a great job training, developing 100% of our employees on the hard skills needed to do the job. If a forklift driver needs to be trained and learn how to operate a forklift safely and productively, we're going to invest in that development, right? If somebody needs to learn how to do pivot tables in Excel, we're going to find a way to invest in that. So we do a really good job of developing the hard skills needed to do the job. Why? Because it's good for the business, because I need that productivity out of people. I think we do an okay job with 20% of our employees. From now of that 100, let's break it down to 20%. And we do okay, we do good work training 20% of our people in soft skills and skills to grow their careers. Emerging leaders are going to conferences and training programs, leadership training all over the countries. Women in industry, we're investing in women in industry leadership. Those in executive leadership, we continue to train. Our sales team, man, we're continually investing in them. So 20% we're committed to growing. But what does that leave? It leaves a third number, and that's 80. And where we have such a tremendous opportunity to make an impact, to be this force for good, is to focus on the 80% of the individuals that we have forgotten about. 80% of the individuals that we walk past as they're on that forklift, as they're picking the product, as they're sitting in customer service, and we have just assumed that's all they want in life. And I've met them. I've asked them to tell me about their tattoos. And every one of these individuals have dreams, goals. They want more. They know more is possible. We have such an opportunity. We have such a responsibility to ask ourselves as leaders and as these platforms that we have in business to say, what can we do to help the 80% that are struggling, that have a civil war going on in their mind about, are they going to be able to make it? Are they going to be able to pay their bills this month? Are they going to be able to go watch their son play baseball tonight, right? Whatever it happens to be.
The timing of this, Dirk, the timing of this for me is really interesting. And I'm interrupting you, but I'm the host. I'm allowed. So the, the 80%, I battle this a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think there is a problem in society with corporations overpromising. And some corporations, trying to be more than just a job, and they trying to set up like social events for their people. And, people are getting absorbed into these systems where they can never turn off. They can never get away from work, and the home working thing made it worse. And, so I think there's a part of it that people like working for me because they do get a job. They come here at 9, they leave at 5, and I never contact them after that. And we don't have a lot of pressure to do social events with each other. And there is a sense in which that they can leave their work behind, and they don't have to think about it again. They have a job, and they're doing a job, and when they're done, they're done. And I think they like that. But there's another part of me that I'm describing the world like a treadmill. And I see a lot of people are flying off the back of the treadmill. It's too high now. It's too fast. They can't run on it anymore. Their wife's working. They're working. They got the kids. They can't make ends meet. They're hanging on by their fingernails. They can't pay their bills. Right. And, so I'm of two competing minds there. One of them is that I don't want to get too involved with my people because it's none of my business and they don't want me anyway. And there's another side of me where I'm looking at, I'm like, this treadmill is going higher and faster for people. And they need to get off the damn treadmill. And I don't know how, I know how they can do it, but I don't know if I should share it with them. You understand? Because I don't know if they want to hear it from me, Dirk.
So I'm going to step off camera just for a second. Hold on.
Sure.
Hold on. And, okay. So a couple things. Michael, this is my perspective. I think you owe it to them to get involved. I'll explain it. I think you owe it to yourself to get involved. Just the way you structure that in my mind, you're wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. You're saying, do I step across? And yes, there are things to say no, right? Do they want me? I go to the side, what if? What if we could touch just one of your employees to change their life, their trajectory, to help them? On my last breath, and I will take a last breath one day.
Of course.
I got to tell you something. I know I would be happier if I made the decision to find a way to help somebody. Now, let me say this. When I stepped off life. Guys, I just got done reading some overviews of a book called, is this the right one? Shit. Okay, guess what? I'm not going to read it to you, so I'm just going to have to tell you what I remember from it. That there's this concept that says most people believe that when I'm interacting with my employees or somebody that's struggling or in need, the best thing I can do for them is to give them advice. And the truth is, that's not how we can best serve them. The best way we can serve them is to encourage them. Mm. Courage, by the way, is one of the top five virtues that both science and the ancient philosophers, say that courage is one of the top five virtues and values that lead you towards a fulfilling life. Encourage means I'm going to help the individual believe in themselves. I'm going to encourage the individual to step outside of their comfort zone. I'm going to encourage the individual by showing them something in them that they didn't see in themselves. And I don't have to have some grand scheme to do that. I don't have to have a career path for them to do that. But I have to have in my heart that I see a human being. I don't see an employee. I see a human being who just might be touched by that level of encouragement. Here's how I look at it. 2.5 weeks ago, I had the great fortune to do some sales training for a manufacturer over in Athens, Greece. I'd never been to Athens. And I was excited to go because I've been studying philosophy and all this. And I got there Saturday night. Sunday morning, I had a 5-hour private tour with 2 tour guides who led me through the steps where Aristotle, Socrates, Plato taught. And about 3 hours into this, they brought me into the National Garden. And I sat down, and guys, I'm not a garden guy, okay? I'm not a garden guy. I don't like to sit down. I want to be standing. I want to be moving. But they had me sit down. And they introduced me to this philosopher, Epicurus. Now, I've studied Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, not Epicurus. And what I learned in that moment was this. What I learned is that Socrates, man, he started it by having these philosophical talks on the streets of Athens. But then his students, Plato and Aristotle, they created these academies that were for the aristocracy, that was for the wealthy, that was for those in government. Epicurus did his teaching in the open garden. He did his teaching so anyone, the thief, the poor, the down and out, the women of the night, could walk in and to reflect and to work on themselves. And what I believe, Michael, is how you started off your conversation about some companies over promise. By doing X, Y, or Z, promising a career path, promise. Look, that's all for us to decide. But in the last 2.5 weeks, my paradigm has changed. And what May 1st is all about, our Force for Good Live, my metaphor is, that's a garden. We're going to have a live event where we are inviting all 6 million employees throughout distribution. There's going to be CEOs in there. There are going to be salespeople in there. There are going to be operations managers. There are going to be forklift drivers. There are going to be everybody is invited into our garden. Some are going to turn out and walk right out. Some are going to be touched. Some are going to go back to their warehouse associates and say, let me tell you about the experience I just had. Let me tell you about how I'm looking at the world differently and how I'm looking at the work that we do. The work that we do is absolutely essential. The society shuts down if we don't pick, pack, and ship our products. And there are going to be individuals, and we're going to start a ripple of change, a ripple of awakening, a ripple of allowing whoever is ready, because we all are going to be ready at different times. We're all going to be ready at different times. But for those that want to stop and pause and say, enough with this civil war going on in my mind. Enough with not being able to sleep at night because I'm worried about my finances. Enough of arguing with my spouse and my kids because we have so much pressure and stress around us.
Hey, gotta get off the treadmill, bud. I think it's important, you know, what you're saying. I just question whether I want to let you loose in my business, buddy. You know what I mean? And there's an element of it that you're dangerous. You know what I mean?
Why is that? Tell me. I need to know this. Why do you say that? Where's the danger?
I'm of two minds on this. And like I said earlier, You know, there's part of it I look at people and I'm like, man, you know what you need to do? You need to get off the damn treadmill that you're on and start thinking about owning a piece of the business you work in. Because once you, that's for me, that's step one. Step one is you can't start owning pieces of businesses that you don't understand. You're never going to learn anything. That's called the stock market. You can go gamble in Vegas too, if you want. So you can get up one of those online accounts where you invest in the stock market and you can gamble, or you can go to Vegas and gamble. It's probably funner in Vegas. But if you want to really learn what happens in the world and how the world actually works and how much taxes you send to the government and all this kind of stuff, you got to own a piece of the business you work in so you have access to the inner workings of a business and you can see how it works.
Two questions. Yeah. One, is that opportunity for ownership available for your employees?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, rhetorically, when is the last time we sat down and showed an individual how to read an income statement?
I do it all the time. So I teach them how to make money. This is how you make money, right? I'm trying to decide here. So, but here's the key. I got those people, they got to buy in. You got to put your checkbook on the table, buddy. That's what I say to them. I'm not giving you anything for free. You want to get off the treadmill? You got to buy one share in the business or 10 shares or 100 shares. You got to pay up, because if they don't pay, he walks off. See, he just walked away.
No, I like it. He's coming back.
Here's why I walked away. Guys, I was nervous about this because I left a virtual class that I'm in today for this podcast. Right. And so when it was going to go late and all that, I'm going to go back to my class. But here are my notes from right now. Guys, I'm 62 years old and I am being led to write down my big why. I am being led to write down why I want to create this event on May 1st. I'm being led to say, what is my big why for my life? Michael, nobody is taking a hammer to me and saying, you have to buy into this if you want to get off the treadmill. Somebody's leading me. They're not telling me anything. They're encouraging me. They're encouraging me to look deeper into myself and to know that there's something more. And on one day, it's not going to be today. It might be a year from now, 2 months from now. But if you really believe in that ownership, and I know you do, and I do, I'd love to introduce you to Johnny, the owner of Wind Supply in Elmsford, New York, where we stopped at last week. He cries every time one of his employees takes out a pen and buys into the business.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's transfer. Transformation doesn't come from me. It comes from them. They have to transform.
And here's my right. I love this. And thank you for telling me that you're on both sides and all this, because you're getting me to think deeper, and I appreciate it. My thought is, create a garden for them. Just create a garden. Create a garden of opportunity to think differently. You know, some companies do it. You know, are you guys familiar with affiliated distributors here in the States?
Sure.
You know, affiliated distributors, I love what they do. And so many of their companies have gone through a process where they've defined, let's say, 23 different values. And they're not just their core values, but 23 values about who we are, what we stand for, how we live, not just how we work, but how we live. And every Sunday, somebody in that organization sends out an email to everybody and talks about this one value. Maybe it's empowerment. Maybe it's financial stability. I don't know. But every Sunday, here's a message. What's the open rate? I don't know. But you want to know something? Sometimes it's not going to be open, but the next time when it's supposed to be open, it's going to be open. Create a garden. For somebody to walk into when they are ready. I heard this so many times on the We Supply America tour. And guys, I still don't fully understand it because it's too freaking hard in my mind to do it. But so many leaders tell me that their job is to meet their people where they are at. And think about that. If you have 10 people That means you have to meet 10 different people where they are at on their journey. I'm not sure I know how to do that. And then some companies have 50, 100, 2,000, whatever. But that's our job. Our job is to figure that out, how to meet our people where they are at. Some will be very, very fulfilled for 30 years. And I've seen this. Very, very fulfilled for 30 years working on the same receiving dock. So fulfilled. Others are going to need more. Others are going to need deeper forms of connection, deeper relationships, deeper
emotion. That's a lot of responsibility there, Dirk. I don't know. I don't know, Greggy. I don't know, Greg, do you want to take that on? I don't know, man. That's a big calling.
Responsibility and opportunity. Greg?
I know.
You know, this has been a great discussion, and it's something that I don't think there's any answer to, but yeah, you're both right. You know, if I'm looking at it from what you're saying, there's a piece of everything, but yeah, I think it's, I like the idea of the garden. You know, you can get some innovation, some ideas out there and share. Mm. When you do one-on-one meetings with your employees, for example, you learn something new every time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did them 2 weeks ago and I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. But maybe just have it more often. Have a garden open all the time. Go to the garden. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, I love it. Can I, mm-hmm. real quick, so I was meeting a manufacturer last week, or yesterday, and we were having a great conversation, and something came up. And Michael, this goes to your point about, you know, it's hard and all this. So guys, years and years and years and years ago, when my father was still in the business, we got the opportunity to design a sales meeting, a sales conference for John Deere Insurance. I don't think they have insurance anymore, but John Deere Insurance. And there were months and months of planning. And the meeting planner for John Deere Insurance was a gentleman, I'm going to guess around 40 years of age at that time. And the pressure of that conference was so great that 2 weeks beforehand, he had a heart attack and went into the hospital. And my father, bless his soul, you know what he said to me? He said, well, there goes his career. The only thing my father could think about, because this is where they came from, the only thing they could think about was not the human being, but the guy's job. And is he going to be able to progress? That was yesterday. I got to tell you something. We are at an inflection point right now. You take a look at the demographic shifts that are going on. You take a look at the generational shifts of ownerships of these businesses. And gentlemen, we are at a serious inflection point that old school management is going to be the death of organizations. I've done some research, future distribution research. I think the number is 93% of us believe that the very nature of leadership is changing more rapidly than most of us realize. And at the core of that is humanity. Leadership is going to be driven by humanity. And if you don't understand that, if you don't buy into it, if you don't figure a way to raise the spirit and the capabilities of the individual to advance your business, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, there has to be a selfish reason for this.
Do not get me wrong. I'm a capitalist. We have to grow the business. We have to be profitable. But in the past, the model was profit before people. The model today is people before profit, and then you will get more profit than you ever dreamed possible in your organization.
I'm still a skeptic. But it's been such a pleasure to speak with Dirk Beveridge today. And the consciousness elevation that was happening while I was speaking to him was substantial. You've made me think very deeply, Dirk, about different things that I've been of two minds on and battling on and will continue to battle on, Greg. But, you know, there's a garden, and we call it KeystoneTech.com. Sucker there, I threw it in just to get you guys. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. Light made easy, Greg Eric.
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, we get calls right now. We come and fix my LED fixture, and it's like, okay, how are we going to do this? Let's go there on site with a smart current USB programmable driver from Keystone, and you likely will be able to fix it. If not, they've got LED tubes, they've got LED fixtures, they've got kits, they've got everything you need, Keystone.
Keep it easy with the big easy, KeystoneTech.com. I'll give you a second. You just hold on there, Dirk. You just give it 1 second, all right? Go to NAILD.org, all members. What do you got to finish up here, Dirk?
Greg, I got the order confirmation already. That is amazing.
It's here. It's here. Let's go.
I got the order confirmation.
That's right.
There you go. And if you want to check out more from Dirk, check him out on LinkedIn. His LinkedIn profile will be on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website. Of course, forceforgoodcompany.com/May 1st. Get involved.
Thanks
for listening. Bye for now.